Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly and my co-host,
Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
We're bringing you live on Global Star tonight, and we'll be on WWCR.com and their shortwave tomorrow night. That would be Wednesday, July 17th, and then Thursday, July 18th.
And again, the Wednesday night program is on shortwave 9.350 megahertz, and that's at 7 p.m. And then the next evening, Thursday evening on the shortwave, is 4.840 megahertz at 8 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, there's a repeating on Saturday mornings on 7.490 megahertz at 8 a.m. Eastern time. And in the afternoon, those of you who are not early birds can hear us at 5 p.m. Eastern time on 9.350 megahertz. And this is one of the most important programs we believe that we have ever pulled together. And we had a lot of help from Almighty God, and we had some opposition. Part of our script was missing when we went to come to the microphone. But God gives us the ideas and the voice, dating back to the first call, and that, you listeners know, was when I stood in Bachelor Lou Caverly's apartment. And his phone rang, and he went to the kitchen. And while he was in the kitchen, I was standing before his little library of books on the bookshelves. And there, it was just like a golden light that just shone out at me. It was a wonderful, wonderful feeling that God was right there with me. And words came into my mind, "This is your destiny." As I looked at books that were wonderful additions, Sandburg's Lincoln. You see, history was going to be made, and we would get to be part of it. So Lou came back from his phone call, and I was wiping tears from my eyes, but this was too sacred, too holy to talk to him about. We were mere acquaintances at this time. So we bring that up through the years to when we first began to learn about the New World Order, and we learned that there were chemtrails. Lou went online, and he found Al Coppett's letter to General John Jumper about the evil treaty on the open skies, of the open skies, and this was under H.W. Bush. And so we began to realize that Al Coppett had a lot of information, and he had ferreted out the fact that there were lists for patriots to be picked up at a future time if martial law came, the red list, the blue list, and possibly the yellow list. And now that we have the green movement, you see, which is enfolding all this tyranny, that there might be some people they think can be saved, and those probably have a green tag, something like that. And we are not done with this fear yet. You will hear in a future program, because we have heard now J.J. Carroll's report, Border Patrol agent, that these camps are real. There are more people who have said they were real, but we are relying on Almighty God, because Almighty God has given a vision to someone. This is reported. We do not know the pastor or the man's name yet, but in March of this year, this vision was given to this man in which God said, "I am not done with America yet." And then he saw former President Trump shot, and he saw the ear wound. And then he saw later Trump ostensibly in office, weeping and praying and weeping and praying, because there was going to be coming a severe financial collapse like never before, and, quote, darkness over America. We know that this is a vision. Man only sees in part. God sees the whole picture. But Lou Caverly and I know that that evening we were coming back from seeing a sacred concert, and that was in the fall of 2001, after my Patriots warning, and a listener wrote he thought it was probably the CIA that put this little incident here in Maryland, October 15th of 2001. But we already knew there were chemtrails, and by this point we knew Colonel Jim Ammerman's video had warned us with the imminent takeover of America, what was planned by the global elites who've been around for a long time doing these things to take away our tyranny to bring in the one world government. If they have their way, they'll have the central bank digital currency. They'll have so much more. But God is not finished with America yet. That's what we heard. So, you know, we're here. But Lou and I, we were coming home. I didn't finish that story from the Sacred Music Concert. And I was looking up at the sky, and I said, look at those chemtrails crisscrossing everywhere. And then I said to Lou, I think maybe I have to write a book. Well, God brought forth my first books. Not many people read them. Even fewer people then were awake, but people are awakening now. Christians all over America are awakening, and tell them to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. So there was another evening that Lou and I were out on a Saturday night, and we were talking, and this could have even preceded all of the other awakenings that God was giving us, because we were talking about how quickly Hitler took over Germany. And Lou, very quickly, who was the person at the head of Germany at that time?
Well, let's see now. It would have been one of the chancellors. They had a series of short-lived chancellors who couldn't seem to get a majority in the German parliament. And finally, the old, rather senile president of the Reich.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yes,
Hindenburg. Yeah, Hindenburg, after saying he would never appoint Hitler chancellor, gave in, partly because of his son's urging, and appointed Hitler the chancellor.
And so after that, things went quickly.
Very quickly.
I think the camps began to open in 1933 or 34.
Yes, I think so.
Yes. So you see, on the way home, we were talking about this because Lou already had impressed me that he was an avid historian, an avid person interested in history. So he had talked about William L. Shirer's book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And I said, you don't think something like this could happen that quickly in America, do you? And Lou said, well, I don't think so. So we were both just toying with this proposition. Could we ever face this kind of sudden onslaught of tyranny here? We walked into the living room. It was a Saturday night, and we turned on the light, and right by a chair by the hearth, a book fell at my feet, and it was The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. You see, God has signs. God has warnings, and we're here tonight with some very important information. And without any further ado, we do tell you to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and please read Radio Text, Four Grave Exhortations. This is by Lou Caverly and Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. You will see this posted there under Breaking News and also under Critical Warnings. Okay, so I think now Lou, first of all, has the topic that's on everybody's mind.
We'll begin with a little quotation from Fox News, dated July 14th, 2024. This was written by Taylor Henley, and the headline reads, "Split-second turn could have saved Trump's life," expert says. This according to Israeli Special Operations Aaron Cohen. Hours after the incident, Cohen told Fox News Trace Gallagher that if the former president had not turned his head when the shot was fired, he would not have survived. And here's a quote from that authority. "God must have been watching down on the president," he said. "Snipers are typically trained to shoot into the cerebral cortex of the cerebellum at the top of the brain stem. It incapacitates you. It keeps your hands from moving." He went on to say, "It's above the distance of the shot, 130 yards. That's a putt. Using a golfing analogy, anyone can put a 223 optic on a target from that distance and hit it. It's not a difficult shot to make." And I believe this is also his quote. "It's very clear to me that had the president's head been straight and if that round had gone into the ear, it would have been lights out. The fact that he just happened to be turned one way with that shot coming in is what saved his life." Unquote. Some estimate that the shot that grazed the president's ear came within mere centimeters of being fatal. And then In the same article, Cohen went on to briefly mention security, quote-unquote, failures surrounding the incident. But he was reluctant to delve deeper into criticizing the Secret Service for somehow allowing the would-be assassin with an AR-style rifle to get close enough to injure Trump. Some former FBI and Secret Service agents are dumbfounded by the security breakdown. However, with some alleging the shoddy effort to get Trump out of the way, out of the danger zone, could have created a far more disastrous outcome if multiple threats had been present. Former FBI agent Jonathan Gilliam said, quote, "I have worked with the Secret Service before. As I was watching this unfold, I could not believe how long this played out before they got him off that stage, into the car. And then it took that vehicle that long to depart that area. It was a lifetime from a protection standpoint. It appeared as though the defense of Trump and the movements off were being made up as they went along." And also we have retired FBI Assistant Director Jeff James, Chris Schwecker, said, quote, "It was almost a kill shot, as it was, if there had been a second shooter, there would have been plenty of opportunity to take him out. So this breaks every rule of the Secret Service protocol," unquote. And then we have some things we got from other authorities. One of them was Hal Turner on his show. He had some what he called problems. And this was the show Monday night, which would have been the 15th of July. One of those problems was how in the world did a 20-year-old manage to get his rifle 400 yards from the parking lot where his car was up to the building from which he fired the shots? Why didn't anybody report seeing him walk around with a rifle in his hands? And I believe by the time he got up to that roof, he was only 130 yards away from the president, an easy shot. Hal also said multiple people saw a man with a gun on the roof and reported him. Nobody did anything. Why not? And WPXI-TV in Pittsburgh reported on their website the shooter was spotted 30 minutes before by law enforcement. And that was an article, I believe, by Nicole Ford on Channel 11. And then we had various other comments. Let me see now. 5:45 p.m., someone called in and took pictures of the man on the roof. It is not clear he had a gun with him at that moment. And this was the American Glass Research Building from which these shots were fired. So again, Hal said, why did no one in authority do anything? The sniper near Trump, the snipers near Trump who were protecting him, saw the men on the roof with the gun, according to internet unconfirmed reports. And according to those reports, an individual posted on a social media site claiming to be a Secret Service agent, he requested permission from the higher authorities to engage the guy, in other words, shoot him. And the bosses above refused to give permission. He had the man in his sights for 3 minutes. His name, according to this report, was Jonathan Willis on the Secret Service. So the Secret Service has not responded to this accusation.
And later the reports, Lou, were that he was fired.
There were some reports, yes, unconfirmed reports, that's true. Now, I think that was the ones, perhaps, who actually did the shooting, finally, and took out the assailant. Now, let's see, what else do we have here?
And, you know, just contributing a little to your report, Doc Burkhart of True News said that we have this pattern, the MK Ultra pattern, the patsies, the mind control victims. They're prepared to be these assassins, and they are always killed, so they can't talk. And many of them have three names. You know, you and I, Lou, were talking about John Lennon's assassin.
Yes, now I always get these
mixed
up. Mark
David Chapman.
That's right, Mark David Chapman. Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yes, there's another one.
James Earl Ray.
Yes. So, you see, it's some kind of a possibly a little part of the sick Illuminati code that they have these three names. We don't really know the full reason for it. May not be coincidental. But at any rate, Doc Burkhart said, just as sure as we had back in the JFK era, we had Ted Cruz's father walking along to a Cuban rally with Lee Harvey Oswald. We have strange bedfellows. So this takes us back to the year 2022, 2 years ago, at Bethel Park School, high school. This is a public high school. And here we had Crooks. There he is. And he's wearing a black rock T-shirt. Now, Doc Burkhart brought out, I believe, or Rick Wiles, that BlackRock is that huge financial conglomerate that is running the money for Ukraine. So we can see that we are dealing with that big biomedical complex. Remember all the covert bioweapons labs in Ukraine that RFK Jr. told Congress about? The CIA was involved. We are dealing with a mammoth thing, much bigger than Eisenhower talked about, the military complex. What else, Lou? Now, there were more things that emerged, but we have to commend this Jonathan Willis if this is all accurate. Go ahead. What else?
Well, I heard on the radio just today, for example, that the lady who is in charge of the Secret Service has said she won't resign. I think there's been some pressure that she should.
Is she woke? That's what we wonder.
That's what we wonder. And has the hiring process been woke? Have they hired people that are woke rather than people that are well qualified? But now a few other facts. Out of the five shots fired, or it might even be more than five, a medical person found one person who was killed. And that skull had been opened by the bullet, his brain matter spilled out, and his death was no doubt meant for Trump. It was
and
that
he
close.
Was on stage. So you see, God Almighty saved Trump's life, we believe, and Trump himself has said that on social media, we understand now. So there's a great need for repentance everywhere. And if we don't complete this entire program this week, it's of such paramount importance. There'll be a part two to these grave exhortations that we have, four grave exhortations. You know, let's just diverge for a minute. Also, on True News, they talked about the precedent with Teddy Roosevelt. Why don't you tell us about that, Lou?
Why, yes, Teddy Roosevelt was giving a speech. Now, this was in 1912, I believe, when he had been president. Of course, he took over after McKinley was killed by an assassin. And Teddy Roosevelt did not run in 1908. William Howard Taft ran. And Roosevelt, although he was a Republican, was not satisfied that Taft was doing enough in certain things that Roosevelt was really
interested
in. And
by the way, I had a history professor, and I think he was what we would call almost woke today, but he stressed that Teddy was Roosevelt, but FDR was Roosevelt. They were related, but they did have different pronunciations.
Yes, that's interesting.
And I think it's interesting, too, that Teddy Roosevelt, when he was shot, was on his way to the convention in Milwaukee. And where is Trump going to go to speak?
Milwaukee.
Yeah, so, see, interesting things.
Yeah.
The Illuminati sometimes plans patterns. And so he was shot, and he went on with this bullet. He wouldn't go to the hospital.
No, he was determined to make the speech. He was a tough guy, and he was shot in the chest. And he carried that bullet in his body for the rest of his life.
Exactly. Now, move on to some of the other anomalies that look like it was an assassination plot.
Well, for one thing, there's the question, how did the guy get up to the roof? Now, I saw mentioned somewhere about a ladder. When you climb a ladder, you are visible to everybody on the ground.
Yes.
How did he climb up there, or was he allowed into the building by some co-conspirator?
Interesting.
You know, like so many of these, almost as soon as it happened, they said, oh, he didn't have any co-conspirators. It was a lone wolf thing. How do they know that so fast? The same thing happened with Kennedy, with Robert Kennedy, with Martin Luther King, all lone assassins, no conspiracy. They couldn't do that with Lincoln because it was an obvious conspiracy. They couldn't do that with a number of other people, number of other assassinations throughout history, because it was obvious that they were a group conspiracy. They were not individuals. And this makes you wonder, what kind of cover-up are they engaging in? And I'm not saying there is a cover-up, but it certainly would fit the pattern of the past. Now, a couple of other things. Let's see now. We talked about the BlackRock. A lot of the major media tried to sort of play this down. I think they didn't want Trump to be looked upon as a hero. Some of them said, oh, Trump fell down when he heard some loud noises. Well, they weren't loud noises. They were gunshots. And he didn't just hear them. He was wounded. And he didn't just fall down. He ducked down like a smart man would to avoid any additional shots. And then the Secret Service finally did jump over him and protect him and get him out of the way. But Trump, being the strong man that he is, before he was let off the stage, stood up, raised his fist, and what did he say, Elizabeth?
Well, there again, some of the rabid leftists, we think, probably misquoted him to make him seem more vulgar. They said he said the F word, but what you saw was that he said, fight, fight, fight.
Exactly.
So
yes.
That might be in a little bit of doubt. And so all of these venues that we know are sold out, even Fox News, we heard reported this sort of about falling down. But there was one bright shining light at Fox News, and that was Jesse Waters.
Yes,
tell
that's
us
right.
About that.
That's right. Yeah, Jesse Waters is a great guy on Fox. And Jesse was interviewing Corey Mills, a former sniper, and didn't say what his capacity was, probably in the Army, I would think. Jesse said this shot should not have gone off. I think that was Corey said that. And Jesse said the counter-snipers, that is the good guys, waited till 8 rounds were fired. In other words, they didn't act immediately. And then Corey said, there should have been no delay. And Jesse said, the devil was in Pennsylvania, but so was God. And let's see what else we have here. Hal Turner says, I think this is how an actual civil war may begin. They aren't going to stop. We are under actual lethal attack.
All of us. Yes, we can see this. Now, also, weren't there some people, ordinary people, who had been seeing this man on the roof, and weren't they calling the authorities?
That's my understanding, yes.
And nothing was done?
Or talked to the local authorities or Secret Service on the ground near them. I think they might have tapped him on the shoulder and say, what's that guy doing up there? Or words to that effect, something like that.
If there isn't too much more, do you have anything much more there? Detail?
Not too much. They did mention, going back way up, back to John F. Kennedy, that they tried several times to get Kennedy, because the general public didn't know about it. But in Chicago and Tampa, in the earlier part of November of that year, until finally they got him on November 22nd, 1963. So they were just saying Trump needs to be very careful on the people around him, because this may just be the start.
Yes. And, of course, we look to Almighty God, who is the controller of everything. Then I think from there, Lou, is that pretty much the completion?
I think that sums it up, yep.
Of what we know at this time?
Yes.
We're going into our radio text, Four Grave Exhortations, and I'm going to start with the second warning. As a preface to that, I would just say that if we go back and look in the historical record, George Washington had his life miraculously saved, I think, a number of times, and I think one time was during the French and Indian War. So that is comparable to if God decided to spare President Trump. And later, in this interview or the coming second part next week, we will discuss that President Trump is one of the most pro-homosexual movement presidents ever. David Cloud of Friday Church News Notes years back, we don't talk about him anymore because he went into supporting the vaccines during the COVID era. But before that, he showed a picture of newly elected President Trump quickly addressing the pro-homosexual agenda people. So, you know, we are in agreement with Christian J. Pinto, who on his, was it June 23rd or 24th, Lou? His program?
24th, I
think. 24th, Noise of Thunder Radio. You should look for that and listen to that, listeners. Noise of Thunder Radio program. And many of you recall that we did interview Chris Pinto. On that program, he mentioned that he does not believe that even if Trump gets in, it will be anything but a detour unless Trump repents and the country repents and the churches repent, not endorsing homosexual ministers and clergy and the whole homosexual movement. Yes, we're to love our neighbor. We would love people, and we would not do any violence to any of them, whether they think they're LGBTQ or not, their lifestyles. But we have now taken it into the churches. You heard on air about the Episcopal Church, its new flag. It's just shocking. So Chris said he thought that even if Trump gets in without this kind of a biblical repentance, it'll merely be a detour. You see, what's waiting for us are those camps, perhaps World War III. We don't know. So now, Washington had his life spared several times. So this is an excerpt taken from my 2004 book, Patriots Warning, One America Attacked. Anthony Sherman, a veteran and aide to General Washington, was interviewed when he was 99. Sherman corroborated, along with reports of other close Washington confidants, the veracity of a momentous event Washington experienced. At Valley Forge, during the brutal winter of 1777 to 1778, Washington's army's morale was very low. Food was scarce. Some soldiers were forced to go barefoot in the snow. Numbers were dying from disease and exposure. Many in the colonies were ready to give up the uphill struggle for freedom and independence, yet Washington persevered. These are Anthony Sherman's first-person observer's words. Quote, "You doubtless heard the story of Washington's going to the thicket to pray in secret for aid and comfort from God, the interposition of whose divine providence brought us safely through the darkest days of tribulation." End of quote. Sherman recounts that on one very cold yet bright day, General Washington remained alone most of the afternoon in his quarters. When he finally emerged, Washington had an ashen visage. After circuitously talking about other matters for an hour, Washington finally was able to tell Sherman what had happened. As Washington told it, he was sitting writing a dispatch when he looked up and saw an unusually beautiful woman. She did not speak in answer to his question why she was there. Washington's first vision then unfolded. In it, he saw a shadowy angel hovering between Europe and America. In the hollow of each hand, he sprinkled some ocean water, with the right on America and the left on Europe. Immediately, a cloud arose from Europe and from America and joined in mid-ocean. The cloud moved west until America was smothered in it. Lightning flashed at intervals, and George Washington heard the smothered groans and screams of the American populace. Dr. Grady comments, "This part of the vision is probably describing the War of Independence." End of quote. As Washington continued to watch, the angel dipped water from the ocean, sprinkling it as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back down into the ocean, becoming invisible. Sherman recounts that for the third time, Washington heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." Soon he saw villages and towns spring up all over America. Following the same ocean procedure as before, the angel pinpointed the time as at the end of the century, showing George Washington's ghastly apparition from Africa approaching our country. Sherman quoted Washington's fascinating description of what clearly seems to be the Civil War. "I saw an ill-omened specter approach our land. It flitted slowly over every town and city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle array against each other. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel on whose brow rested a crown of light on which was traced the word, quote, Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between a divided nation and said, quote, Remember, ye are brethren, end of quote. Instantly, the inhabitants, casting from them their weapons, became friendly once more and united around the national standard. And Luke Caverly, this is Elizabeth again. We have to interject here. Listening to Hal Turner one night, there was a listener who called in and told the story again of Taps. And according to him, this musical rendition that honors fallen soldiers came about because there was a father and a son, and independently they had been part of either the Union Army or the Confederacy, and they actually were meeting each other in a certain woods unexpectedly, and the son was mortally wounded, and the father put his arms around him, and I think the father wrote the Taps that we now know. Very touching and very poignant. So back to this vision that George Washington apparently had. The third and last part of Washington's vision revealed the third and greatest peril to the Union. Dr. Grady, and he was someone being interviewed for my book. It's not of great relevance here to tell who he was or what he was, but he was retelling this whole story. In Washington's vision, he saw America attacked and invaded by vast military forces from Europe, Asia, and Africa. He saw our cities aflame as a result of nuclear attack, burned by mobs fomenting anarchy and revolution? I ask that in my book. That's just like a, you know, parenthetical thought. The whole nation devastated and millions dying in mortal combat. Then, at the point of fiercest and final battle, the great angel, the guardian of this nation, descended from the heavens with legions of white spirits who joined forces with the Americans and destroyed the invading armies. Dr. Grady believes, "We will prevail because it is our destiny to prevail, but we have permitted corruption, perversion, immorality, greed, and personal pleasure and materialism to become our way of life. We have allowed traitors to hold the highest positions of authority within our nation. We have reached such a point of degradation that we are even killing our own unborn children, bringing about our own genocide. Therefore, because of immorality, loss of faith, and the abandonment of our God-centered heritage, America and her people will receive a chastisement of immeasurable ferocity." Lou Caverly has the next warning.
The next warning? This alert came on October 25th, 2020, when Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano penned a monumental open letter to the then-sitting president, Donald J. Trump. This was just days before the fateful 2020 presidential election. This amazing letter carried out the exhortation of the two earlier grave warnings from Colonial Connecticut pastor Jonathan Edwards.
And we interject here, listeners, you will be hearing that perhaps this week, but if not, next week.
Yes. And also Anthony Sherman's recounting of Washington's vision that you've just heard of three wars. Now, here are a few excerpts from this letter.
Now,
from the
we
Archbishop.
Have to interrupt again that the latest news about this wonderful Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, the latest news is he was excommunicated. He was excommunicated by the Vatican for his truth-telling, and I'm sure that a lot of conservative Roman Catholics are lamenting this. He warned, as very few American clergy did, that COVID, aborted fetal cell-derived shot should not be endorsed by clergy and the people led into this bioweapon holocaust. He was one of the very few who talked about it. Later, he's one of the very few who documented the graphene oxide as being in the shots that the EU had come out with this. It was a very credible story, so that we know that he is a man who could be called a true shepherd. Lou and I might not agree with all of the theology. We don't worship Mary. She is not a co-mediatrix to us. But we do have to recognize that there are many devout Roman Catholic people who love Jesus personally. And we believe that Jesus will not abandon true people like Vigano. So pray for him. And here, if only the people around Trump, who probably kept this letter from ever seeing the light of day into his Oval Office, or if he read it, his own hardened heart that later put the big business profits ahead of the lives of the little children by bringing in Operation Warp Speed. And I, for one, am going to say, if there's Operation Warp Speed 2 for the bird flu, then he has never repented and he is not worthy to be God's saved president. God wants him to repent. So anyway, let's listen to how prophetic this letter was.
Daily, we sense the attacks multiplying of those who want to destroy the very basis of society, the natural family, respect for human life, love of country, freedom of education and business. We see heads of nations and religious leaders pandering to the suicide of Western culture and its Christian soul, while the fundamental rights of citizens and believers are denied in the name of a health emergency that is revealing itself more and more fully as instrumental to the establishment of an inhuman, faceless tyranny. A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of entire populations. In several nations, this plan has already been approved and financed. In others, it is still in an early stage. Behind the world's leaders, who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201, promoting their agenda. The purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship, aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures, hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt.
This is Elizabeth interjecting again here, Lou. This was a new word to us, liberticidal. You see, it's like liberty, but it's like the end of the word homicidal. So in other words, this is the imposition of killing of liberty measures.
Exactly. That's right.
And now go on, the price.
The price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property and adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21 promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. Beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccination will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport and a digital ID, with a consequent contact tracing of the population of the entire world. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated. Mr. President, I imagine that you are already aware that in some countries the Great Reset will be activated between the end of this year and the first trimester of 2021. For this purpose, further lockdowns are planned, which will be officially justified by a supposed second or third wave of the pandemic. You are well aware of the means which have been deployed to sow panic and legitimize draconian limitations on individual liberties, artfully provoking a worldwide economic crisis. In the intentions of its architects, this crisis will serve to make the recourse of nations to the Great Reset irreversible, thereby giving the final blow to a world whose existence and very memory they want to completely cancel. But this world, Mr. President, includes people, affections, institutions, faith, culture, traditions, and ideals. People and values that do not act like automatons, who do not obey like machines, because they are endowed with a soul and a heart, because they are tied together by a spiritual bond that draws its strength from above, from that God that our adversaries want to challenge, just as Lucifer did at the beginning of time with his non-Servium. As is now clear, the one who occupies the chair of Peter, that is Pope Francis, has betrayed his role from the very beginning in order to defend and promote the globalist ideology, supporting the agenda of the deep church who chose him from its ranks. Around you are gathered with faith and courage those who consider you the final garrison against world dictatorship. The alternative is to vote for a person who is manipulated by the deep state, gravely compromised by scandals and corruption, who will do to the United States what George Mario Bergoglio, that is Pope Francis's real name, is doing to the church. Prime Minister Conte to Italy, President Macron to France, Prime Minister Sanchez to Spain, and so on. The blackmailable nature of Joe Biden, just like that of the prelates of the Vatican's magic circle, will expose him to be used unscrupulously, allowing illegitimate powers to interfere in both domestic politics as well as international balances. It is obvious that those who manipulate him already have someone worse than him ready, with whom they will replace him as soon as the opportunity arises. Mr. President, you are well aware that in this crucial hour, the United States of America is considered the defending wall against which the war, declared by the advocates of globalism, has been unleashed. Place your trust in the Lord, strengthened by the words of the Apostle Paul. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. To be an instrument of divine providence is a great responsibility, for which you will certainly receive all the graces of state that you need, since you are being fervently implored for you by the many people who support you with their prayers. With this heavenly hope and the assurance of my prayer for you, for the First Lady, and for your collaborators, with all my heart, I send you my blessing, Carlo Maria Vigano, Archbishop of Alpiana, and former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States of America. And now, this is our comment. Instead of reacting to Vigano's message and demonstrating great repentance and remorse for sin, America's leaders brought forth our Operation Warp Speed, fully implementing and administering implementing administration of COVID fetal cell-derived vaccines, with some inoculations even given inside church sanctuaries. Extrapolating the VAERS figures of 27,000 U.S. deaths due to COVID shots, knowing that reputable sources claim only 1% of deaths make their way to VAERS statistics, we have at least 2,700,000 people who have succumbed to Satan's bioweapon. Died suddenly has appeared over and over in newspaper obituaries throughout the country. Jonathan Cahn's book, The Josiah Manifesto, mathematically makes an amazing case with facts and figures to prove that the devastation of the COVID era, especially in America, was direct judgment from God for the 60-plus million babies aborted here. In many cases, the dates for the abomination of legalized abortion, beginning in various parts of America, and the dates for COVID's first devastating strikes were exactly the same.
And, Lou, we are going to have two more warnings yet next week. And now we come to the radio text addendum, Grave Judgment, by yours truly. July 11th, 2024, God's storm starts on America. In biblical numerology, the 11 number denotes God's judgment. In America right now, is there repentance, any remorse, any awe and respect for Almighty God's scriptural laws? Is God staying his hand? For indeed, this was the day, July 11th, that Trump was supposed to go to prison. Yet are there other shocking signs God's judgment is descending on this country? Lou Caverly reports on the these are bullet points now. Lou Caverly reports on the Divided Kingdom evening news program on the growing trend of thruples. Quote, THROUPLES, thruples, seeking to become, quote, parents. Case in point, three 30-year-old plus men seeking to all be fathers to two children, including a small girl. One of the prospective, quote, fathers exulted in how much extra love the small girl would receive from three fathers because love is love. Next bullet point, Reuters reports NATO declares missiles in Poland are ready. Next, Russian key political advisor Medvedev declares, either Ukraine or NATO disappears, making the inference clear what the preference is. True News, having reported July 10th, the unprecedented deployment of some Chinese troops into Europe for the first time, Poland and Belarus, now quotes NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg pointing the finger at China, an enabler of Russia's war on Ukraine. True News agreed that Stoltenberg had thrown the gauntlet down to China. The Times of London reported the headline, China Stages War Games While NATO Meets. China sent a warning to NATO. A report came from the London Telegraph that once again demonstrates the push to inaugurate and implement the world war so dear to the hearts of political hack hawks like Senator Lindsey Graham, who dreamily exulted about the trillions of dollars worth of rare earth minerals and more in Russia. They're just waiting, like parts of Africa, for the New World Order's greedy plundering. What did the London Telegraph say? It outlined the proposal to place hypersonic missiles in Germany. The defense minister explained that these hypersonic missiles can, quote, strike deep in Russia. It was made clear that this would occur unimpeded, even if Trump became president. Political solution? MAGA will bring back freedom in the Constitution? Yet recent reports document at the Southern White House of true legitimate POTUS, LGBT-approved events have occurred, including a homosexual wedding held at Mar-a-Lago, as well as the Log Cabin Republicans, they have a contingent at Bohemian Grove, fundraiser Melania Trump held at Trump Tower, July posting at LifeSite News was the source. Anthony Blinken confirms that donated F-16 fighters from Denmark and the Netherlands are on their way to Ukraine. Blinken said these jets will continue to fly this summer, quote, against the Russian aggression, end of quote. Talk show host Hal Turner is concerned the F-16 donated fighters will lead to war escalation. Bases in other countries will have to be used for these F-16s, said Turner. So if there is any attack on them, then NATO can kick in, defending a member state, etc. The NATO summit issued an end-of-summer communique with three interesting major points. One, enlarge its role into Africa. Two, give 40 billion euros to Ukraine in 2025. Three, assert that Ukraine is on an inevitable path to join NATO. Ukraine drones a month ago destroyed two Russian early warning nuclear missile radar sites. and now very recently, a key nuclear missile test range site Russia has had since 1947 has been attacked by Ukrainian drones. Turner explains that none of these targets had anything to do with Ukraine and the war there. His analysis is that NATO is directly commanding these attacks to weaken Russia's nuclear early warning systems because, quote, these NATO sickos are actually planning a nuclear first strike against Russia. God forbid. Prayer, prayer from those of you who are still able to feel remorse and repent. There is not much comfort in the domestic scene either. Reportedly, the United States national debt is increasing by $1 trillion every 100 days. Mathematician Lou Caverly says if this is true, this debt is unsustainable and will soon bankrupt the country. And I'm interjecting, Elizabeth, remember this vision that there will be a huge financial collapse coming. In addition to all the Luciferian plots and plans to fully engage in World War III, there is another danger. Very serious concerns are weighing on us with possible reimplementation of God's judgment. Lo and behold, is God's possible second pandemic judgment just around the corner? For on this significant day, July 11th, we also got another shocking announcement in the news. Number one, an international bird flu summit is to be held October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Washington, D.C. Now, listeners, did you hear the name of this? This wasn't just a U.S. summit. No, the WHO pandemic treaty, yes, it's still trying to hover. They passed some illegal amendments. Yes, so this is called an international bird flu summit to be held October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, Washington, D.C. Two, their brochure says, we will discuss the highly virulent respiratory bird flu. Number three, the very first item on their agenda is mass fatality management planning. Lou, what do you picture there in your mind if you're watching TV clips later? Mass fatality management planning. What are some of the visual pictures that come right to your mind?
I would say trying to dispose of many bodies.
Pictures. What do you see? Many bodies?
Bodies, yes, definitely bodies. People panicking, perhaps, running away.
What about the equipment?
I mean,
this is management planning. Big trucks?
Bulldozers, maybe?
Oh, yes, yes. Perhaps something far worse than another disrupted presidential election is coming. Oh, America, repent. And, you know, next week we have two more warnings. And I think that, Lou, you have the story about that's breaking about Biden's White House and the child situation. Do you?
Yes, I do.
Let's get right into that right now.
From the People's Voice, July 11th, White House whistleblowers. Biden regime is sex trafficking kids to elite pedophiles. This is by Sean Adel Tabatabai. Multiple White House whistleblowers have come forward to claim that the Biden administration is trafficking tens of thousands of children to elite pedophiles. According to the government whistleblowers testifying before the Senate on Tuesday, over 85,000 children who crossed the U.S. border have mysteriously vanished after being placed with sponsors. They said the children are often placed with pedophiles who are not their relatives and provided evidence of abuse and trafficking. The NationalPulse.com, that's a website, NationalPulse.com reports Tara Lee Rodas, a whistleblower with a 20-year federal career, described her experiences at the Pomona Fairplex Emergency Intake Site, where she served as deputy to the director of the federal case management team. One case involved a 16-year-old Guatemalan girl named Carmen, who was placed with a man claiming to be her brother, but who subsequently posted child pornography online. Rodas also stated that gangs like MS-13 are involved in child placement. Despite warnings, authorities retaliated against her rather than investigate her claims. Whistleblower Deborah White alleges that sponsors are rarely vetted face-to-face and fake documents are pervasive. She said, quote, children are not going to their parents. Children were being trafficked with billions of taxpayer dollars by a contractor failing to vet sponsors and process children safely, with government officials complicit in it. The oversight of sponsors by the Department of Homeland Services involved minimal follow-up, typically limited to a single phone call 30 days post-placement. By that time, many children could no longer be contacted.
You know, Lou, there's a similarity there in this planned incompetence, like the Secret Service failures there around Trump, how long it took them, 3 minutes it took them, didn't it? We heard, to get him off the stage and into a car.
It took a long time.
A long time. So here, tell us again, how long was it till they would follow up on these missing children?
In this particular case, it was 30 days. And it was limited to a single phone call. That's all they bothered to do. 30 days after placing the child. And it goes on. Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra maintains that no children have gone missing from HHS custody. However, whistleblowers clarified that this claim was technically accurate only until transportation companies delivered the children to their sponsors. The children often went missing shortly thereafter. And that concludes that article.
Do you know where the Millstone Passage is in Matthew? You don't have a Bible near you, do you?
I don't have it written in front of me,
you can get it very quickly.
I'll get it.
While we just say that the evidence is here of the depravity and the perversion that even at the time of my book being written that were mentioned there by Dr. Grady, in conjunction with Washington's visions, they've increased to the point at which we have a political party and some of our states in America, the blue states, congratulating the medical people who are cutting off the genitals of children. We never thought we would see this as a result of the LGBTQ, the manifesto, the gay manifesto years ago. We're coming for your sons. No, we're coming for your children. And what does God say about this? What does Jesus say? Lou, perhaps you can give us the passage about the millstone.
Well, I don't know that I can find it in the limited time we have. We will certainly do it next time.
Well, give it in your words. What did Jesus say?
Well, basically he says, whoever causes one of these little ones of mine to go astray, it would be better if he were at a millstone tied around his neck and he would drown in the depths of the sea.
Yes.
That's the fate that would await him, only worse.
That's the paraphrase. So we are here, and we do hope that America will repent. So do tune in and tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. This program should be posted, I would think, by Friday afternoon or Saturday morning. Go visit DividedKingdomRadio.com and pray for Trump and for America. Good night.